Afternoon.
Emotions. At times, they can be reliable, and at other times, not. Where are yours today? This is an emotional day, and it ought to be such, not just for the Christians. Something tragic and amazing at the same time took place on this day centuries ago, an event which still impacts the lives of people, whether they know it does or not. Jesus crucified and then risen. Talk about amazing grace. Let us worship the God who makes this grace toward us possible. And so amazing. For those worshiping online, you can find the service bulletin on our website under the Staying Connected to God's Word link. Also, if you receive our emails, you'll find a link to the bulletin there as well. Let's turn our attention to our service bulletin, our opening hymn, hymn 401, Your Works, Not Mine, O Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
Amen.
Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God.
How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out.
Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who is ever given to God that God should repay him?
For from him and through him and to him are all things.
To him be the glory forever.
Amen.
We confess our sins.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
Thank you.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. Reading from Holy Scripture through the prophet Isaiah, prophecy fulfilled. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness, so he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem.
Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Why would God in heaven have a need to send his one and only Son to earth to serve as our substitute? We turn to Ephesians 2 for an answer.
As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath.
But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved.
Reading from Holy Scripture, Galatians 3, who can live up to such demands? For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of John, 19th chapter, pointing out the crucifixion of our Lord. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lot for my garment." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips.
When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The word
of the Lord. As we said earlier, emotions at times can be reliable. And then at other times, they can mess us up. For those who base their faith on emotions, such will mess you up. Emotions have a role when it comes to our faith, but emotions cannot be a reliable indicator of confirming we have faith in Jesus as Savior or not have such a faith. For example, when Jesus walked the earth in flesh, there were professional mourners who would show up for a funeral procession. But to say that their tears were genuine, that would be up for debate. We can get all emotional about the events of that first Good Friday. But if these emotions are just for the day or even just for 1 hour of worship, and then we go back to our lives like his death never took place, what does that say about us? This is not to say we should walk around on a daily basis with dust and ashes on our head or carrying a heavy burden in our heart. Because we also know and believe by the grace of God that while today is Friday, Sunday is a coming. This brings on another set of emotions. And not just for that day or for that hour of worship, but because Good Friday and Easter Sunday have an impact on our lives all the way into eternity. Now that is something to get emotional about. Again, realizing that our faith is not built and maintained on our emotions, but rather on the solid foundational truth of Jesus crucified and risen. This leads us then to the words which serve as our talking point for this afternoon from Luke 23. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. This is God's word. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in great abundance, thanks to God our Father, and because of our crucified and risen Savior Jesus Christ, such is the case. The words of our text lead us to a question we've been pondering throughout the Lenten season. And that question is this: what should we do with Jesus? And the words of our talking point today from Luke 23 emphasize that we should die with him. Now, this is possible through the gift of faith. And this is something that ought to be done, that we die with him on a daily basis. Something was different on that first Good Friday, right? It got dark. Well, what was unusual about that? Anyone? It was 3 p.m. It's not supposed to get dark. There was no eclipse forecasted. There was definitely something unusual going on, as testified by the witnesses. And it was an eerie, unusual thing that was taking place. And then at the same time, in the temple that the Jews used for worship, what was happening? Yeah, the temple curtain which divided the Holy of Holies from the holy place was torn in two. That's not supposed to happen. And a third significance happening is outlined for us, and that is what? Not yet. Not yet. We got the darkness, midday. We got the temple being torn, curtain being torn in two. Not yet. Good answers, but not yet. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "It is finished," right? "Father, I commit my spirit to you." These three happenings have great significance then and still today. And part of that significance has to do with the fact that God wants to have a positive relationship with His creation. And so God, the Creator, took all the steps necessary to make this positive relationship a reality. Because recall, after God created the world, it was perfect. Adam and Eve were in sync with Him as first creation. But they were given the ability not to sin. They weren't robots. And God gave them a test. And we know that they failed that test. And because of that failure, sin came into the world. And with sin came death. For the wages of sin is death, physical death. And that's why we weep at death of loved ones, because it's not natural. And then also spiritual death. We no longer are one with God by nature. And then eternal death. If we don't get into a positive relationship with God, we're away from Him for all eternity. And God, the Creator, does not want that. And so He knew that His first creation would mess up. And so He already had in place a plan to show His great love for His creation. That it wasn't going to be a do-over, but a win-over. And through the gospel, He does just that. He wins us over. At the heart of that gospel is the active life of Jesus. The life that you and I are supposed to live. Remember the reading from Galatians? If we don't do everything that is written in the book of the law, if we don't follow those commandments perfectly, keeping in mind they're not suggestions. Pick which one you want to choose for today. No, we're supposed to follow all of them and perfectly, for God still demands perfection of us. But we can't live up to it. We fall short, way short. And God knew this, and so He sent His Son, who in flesh lived that perfect life for us, and thus showing Himself to be the innocent, perfect, necessary sacrifice on the cross. So His passive obedience, He did not resist His arrest. He willingly went to the cross because He knew in talking with His Father that's the only way that this positive relationship with creation could be accomplished. And so Jesus went to the cross and died. It is finished. With that declaration, sin, your sin paid for. We can't live the perfect life. And we don't have to. That doesn't mean, though, we're free to live however we want. The gospel motivates us to live our lives for Christ, to go back to those commandments, to show, Lord, how can we say our thanks to you? God gives us this reality of a positive relationship through His means of grace, the gospel in the Word itself, and the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And so how important and vital the gospel is. He doesn't bring us into that relationship by our decision. He doesn't bring us into that relationship by how many good works we do. He doesn't bring us into that relationship by reading any other book. It comes only through the gospel found in the Holy Bible. But He also knows His creation, so He's given us those visible means of baptism and the Lord's Supper. As we see those visible elements, we also know that something else is taking place when they're connected to the Word of God. Faith is being created and or strengthened through those means of grace. How important it is then for us to stay hydrated with the means of grace. Especially now as the weather is getting warmer. How important it is for us to stay hydrated. Recognize that. All the more, as you get thirsty physically, recognize we need to also quench our spiritual thirst. And there's one rock solid place to do that. The gospel in word and sacrament. Connected then to Jesus in such an intimate way through the means of grace, through that gift of faith and that comes by means of that grace. We want to make sure this connection lasts. And God has also made that a possibility. He empowers us daily to drown our old Adam, that old Adam we are conceived with and wants to go against God. He gives us the ability through the work of the Holy Spirit, using the Word of God, to daily drown our old Adam, recognizing our sinfulness and need for a Savior. And it's through that empowerment that the Holy Spirit gives that we can drown that old Adam and live anew for Jesus each and every day. Part of that drowning of the old Adam is recognizing our sin and need for that Savior, and then being remorseful and repentant of our sins. And then also not giving in to Satan, who would say, well, you know, that sin, there's no way that can be forgiven. Jesus didn't go to the cross for that sin. And what does the Holy Spirit tell you to do with Satan at that time? Give him a boot. Say no. The cross is for all sin. It's not based on my emotion. You may not feel forgiven, but look at the cross. What does it say to you? You are forgiven. Say it again. Forgiven. That is what you are by the grace of God, connected to the cross of Jesus through the gospel in word and sacrament. Then connected to Jesus through that means of grace. It leads us then to put behind us faulty emotions and actions, which would separate us from God and His love. Connected to Jesus in such a way, through the means of grace, it leads us to live each day with confidence. Keeping in mind, how often does God renew His mercy and love for us? Every day. Fresh and new. And so connected to Jesus in such a way, we have then the ability to refocus our emotions, realizing such are truly rooted in the cross of Christ, Good Friday, and the empty tomb, Easter Sunday. Dear friends, it's Friday, but Sunday is a coming. God's peace to you. Amen. Let's join in Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted as printed on page 8. Heavenly Father, you are just God who accepts nothing less than perfection. All too often we fail to realize how much our sins offend you. We forget that the wages of sin truly is death. We forget that there actually is a hell. Lead us to recognize the seriousness of our sinfulness. Lead us also to admit our inability to make things right with you.
Teach us to look to you as the only one who can make us just and right.
Today we are reminded not only of your justice, but also of your love. You did not spare your own Son, but gave him as a ransom for each one of us. Comfort us with the knowledge of this great love. Give us the peace that the forgiveness of sins brings.
We feel our guilt, join us to the cross, where our guilt was washed away in Jesus' blood.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for paying the debt that we could not pay. We thank you for coming to earth so that we could be with you forever in heaven.
For being our perfect substitute, we thank you, Lord Jesus.
Son of God, you offered up your body as an unblemished sacrifice for sin and commended your spirit into the hands of your Father. Teach us to cast the cares of this brief life on our Heavenly Father and commit our bodies and souls to his love.
Give us the courage to face death, knowing that it is the gate to our home.
The cross was once an instrument of death. It is now a sign of life.
Dear Savior, we humbly kneel at the cross in awe of your power and of your love. Amen.
And we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
What is one truth of many that we heard today, which we ought to reflect on as we leave this house of worship? Romans 5 says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. A reading from Holy Scripture, the burial of Jesus. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloe, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.